All right, take your Bibles, please, this morning and turn to the last book of the Bible, to the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, for the message this morning. Revelation chapter 22. I want to read just one verse of Scripture, and that verse will hold the thought that I want to give you this morning, and that is in verse 16. So if you will look at your Bible, please, I will read the text verse, and then we'll pray, and then the message. Beginning in reading verse 16. Now, realize that this is the Lord Jesus speaking. And verse 16 says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Now notice what he says here in the last part of verse 16. We just finished looking at Exodus, and we saw on Wednesday nights when Moses was out on the backside of the desert and God had called him and told him that he was to go and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses asked the Lord, whom shall I say hath sent me? And God said to him, you tell him, I am that I am has sent you. God is I am that I am, not I was or not I will be, but I am that I am. He is the ever eternal present God. Amen. Now, you get over into the New Testament and the Lord Jesus often used that phrase, I am. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the water. I am the door. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. The Lord Jesus is the I am. And here in this verse of Scripture, the Lord said, I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. Now, the text that I have chosen today is not necessarily connected with Christmas, although the Lord goes back to an Old Testament prophetic statement that was made about him that he would be the branch. You remember that? He would be the branch that would grow out of the root of Jesse. And then, of course, he mentions in our text that he is the bright and morning star. And we, of course, remember that a star guided the wise men to the Savior. All right, so while my text is not directly connected to the Christmas account, to the Christmas story, I'm going to squeeze it just a little bit so that it sort of is, okay? If you'll just give me a little liberty there, I would appreciate it. But I'm going to speak to you this morning a message that I have entitled, The Root and the Star. There are two things here. The Lord Jesus said, I am the root. And then he said, I am the star. I am the root and the offspring of David. And of course, David was his father was Jesse. And that goes back to that Old Testament prophecy where the branch would grow out of the root of Jesse. And then the Lord Jesus said, I am the star. Now, I want you to think about that for just a moment. A root and a star. What in the world could those two possibly have in common? All right, let's pray together and then the message. Our Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. And Father, as we read the Bible, we realize that there is no way man could have put this amazing book together. It has to be inspired of God. There's no way a human mind could take all these things and piece them together into the Scripture to make such a marvelous, clear, undisputed truth. And so, Lord, as we look at this statement this morning, where our Savior said He's the root, and then turned right around and said He's the star, help us to realize what a wonderful Savior we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you will help me to be able to communicate this clearly. And Lord, may each one of us listen intently, and may we see the picture that was presented by the Savior about Himself. And Father, if there is even one person in this room who is not 100% sure that they're saved and on their way to heaven, may they realize that they need the Savior this morning. May they realize that the church can't save them, and I can't save them. They cannot certainly save themselves. Father, they must have the Savior save them. May they put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Speak to our hearts now, we pray, and open our understanding to the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Now, I want you to notice out of verse 16 that the Lord Jesus says in this text that He is the root. And then He turns right around and says that He is the star. Now, I want you to think of the vast difference there is between a star that shines in the night sky and a root that is under the ground supporting a tree. That's what He says. I am the root and I am the star. There is nothing that a root has in common with a star. And yet the Lord Jesus says that He is both. When you stop for a moment and think about it, it is strange indeed that He would say this about Himself. I am the root and I am the star. He takes two objects from different worlds, and in both of them, He finds Himself. He takes two objects from different worlds, and in both of them, He finds Himself. He chooses two things which seem to have absolutely nothing in common with each other, and ties Himself to both things. In one single sentence, He brings together two things that are so utterly unalike and sees in each of them something that is the image of His being. If you take these two figures separately, they are both rich in spiritual significance, as I've already hinted to you before I prayed. We know that there was an Old Testament prophecy that told us that the Messiah would come from the root, from the seed, from the family of Jesse. We know that Jesse had a son, his name was David, and the Lord Jesus was a descendant of King David. He has right to the throne because of his relation to King David. And of course, we know that the Lord Jesus is light. He said that of himself. And so if you take these two figures separately, they are both rich in spiritual significance and both full of spiritual application. But when you put them together, what can they possibly be saying about the Lord Jesus? Let me try to put them together for you this morning and see if we can't glean something that will help us to see what a wonderful Savior our Lord Jesus Christ really is. I'm going to give you three thoughts this morning. I'm going to take you down three different roads this morning in order to get to the destination where you see just how wonderful the Lord Jesus is. As we start down the first road, I want you to, if you want to take just a moment and write this down so you can look at it as I'm amplifying it, that would probably help you greatly. But the first avenue that I want you to take you down, the first thing I want you to see is this. I want you to notice these two combine the local and the universal. These two combine the local and the universal. By local, I guess what I'm referring to is that of the earth. The root, that of the earth. And by universal, I suppose that I am speaking of that which is beyond the earth. Because you can go out when the sky is clear. And every night you can look up in the sky and you can see the stars as they're twinkling and shining in the night sky. That is beyond the earth. So notice how these two, the root and the star, notice how these two combine the local and the universal. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? All right, listen carefully. A root is buried in a specific spot here on this earth. But a star shines its light on the world. If a root is to grow, it has to have a certain soil from which it gets its nutrition. And if you want to get that root, if you want to get it out, you have got to get your hands in that dirt and dig it out. You may not even be able to see the root because it is covered over by the dirt. But you know that it is there because it's got a tree growing on top of it. If you walk out in your yard and you see a tree and that tree is living, you know that there's a root underneath that tree that is holding it in place. So a root is buried in a specific spot. It is in the earth. But now let's go to the star. A star can be seen by anyone on the planet who has a clear sky and looks up to see it. You may be in the far east, or you may be on a mountaintop out in Colorado, or you may be standing on a beach down in the Caribbean. But if you lift your eyes into the night sky, you will see a star shining its light in the sky. Now, think of this, folks. The root is grounded in one place, and the star shines for all to see. The root is grounded, it's hidden in one spot, but the star is out there in the sky for all to see. The root is fixed in a definite spot. But the star is located where folks from all over the world can enjoy its light. And don't forget, Jesus said in this text that he is both the root and the star. Now, my question is this. What can we possibly get or learn from this parallel? How is the Lord Jesus like the root and yet like the star? Well, think of this. Our Lord was born in little old out-of-the-way hidden Bethlehem. Our Lord was hidden away, born in little old hidden away Bethlehem. Think of that, folks. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was born in the little old village, the little old town outside of Jerusalem. He was not born in the big city of Jerusalem, but in the little hidden out of the way Bethlehem. He was not born in Babylon. He was not born in Damascus. He was not born in Nineveh, but in a hidden away little town called Bethlehem. And then when he was born, they took him back to little old Nazareth in Galilee. Then they took him, because the angel of the Lord warned them, down into Egypt, out of the way, hidden away from Herod and his evil intentions. And then they brought him back to Nazareth, and he was raised and lived most of his life in the little old out-of-the-way Nazareth, of which, I remind you, can anything good come out of Nazareth? So here is our Lord saying, I'm the root. Well, kind of hidden away. That's the point. And yet the amazing thing is, today, the Lord Jesus is the light of the world. I mean, the amazing thing about it is the Lord Jesus is the light that leads men from darkness to the light of God. You know, I was thinking about this. God has allowed me in my ministry the privilege of going around the world to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The first time that I ever went anywhere, I went really to a place that I never thought I would ever go, and that was to the former Soviet Union, before the Soviet Union disbanded and broke off into satellite countries. I got a phone call the 1st of December, and a preacher friend said, would you like to go and preach in Russia and take Bibles? We took 10,000 Bibles in the Russian language over to Moscow and to Kiev and to Leningrad. And I said, well, yeah, I'd love to do that. And so they made arrangements, and I got to go with them. And the amazing thing was, when I got to Russia, I found that the Lord Jesus was already there. When we got off that airplane and came through the security out into the terminal, there were people standing there with signs. They were misspelled. I mean, they tried, but we could read them and know that they were waiting for us. And they had these little signs they were holding up, welcoming us to Moscow. And these people were so excited. They knew the Lord. They were saved people. And this one fella, little guy about that big, his name was Ivan. And I found out just about everybody over there's name was Ivan. I didn't know that. It's like John here, everybody, you know. And Ivan is John in Russian. And this little guy, John, he came running, and he was pulling a paper out of the back of it, a worn paper. And when I looked at it, I recognized it as the sword of the Lord. And Dr. Hudson had, in about 1986 or 87, somewhere in there, printed one of my sermons in the sword of the Lord. First one I ever had printed in the sword. And this guy had a copy of that sword, old, wrinkled up, tattered, worn, and it was stuck in the back pocket of his pants. And as he was running towards me, pulls it out, runs over, holds it up. It was a much younger picture. And he points at that picture, points at me, and said, you. I said, yes, that's me. He said, you preach in my church. I said, yes, I'll be glad to preach in your church. And he took that sword of the Lord, held it up for his congregation to see, pointed at my picture, and told everybody that the editor of the sword of the Lord had come to preach in his church. Oh, they were so excited. I got to Russia, and you know what I found? Christ's light had already been shining there. Jesus is the light of the world. When I went to China, I found him there. 4 years ago, when I was in China, the Lord was already there. His light was shining brightly. When we went to Ireland with the teenagers, there was a church full of people waiting on us. We found the Lord was there. I'm saying, folks, it doesn't matter where you go in the world, you will find people who have seen the light of this glorious star and who are now walking in that light. Their sins are forgiven. They have a home that awaits them in heaven. I mean, millions of people who have never been to little old Bethlehem, Israel, have experienced the power of his name. He was rooted deep in the rich soil of the Holy Land. But the image of a root is not enough. Upon sinful men, thousands of miles away from Israel, he has shone as a bright and morning star and has redeemed their souls and paved the way for them to see God. Folks, that's exactly what the Lord has done for you if you know Christ is your Savior. That's exactly what the Lord Jesus has done for you and done for me. I mean, a light shone on my pathway 42 years ago. And I saw my need of trusting in the Savior. And when I did trust in him, my life was transformed, changed, enlightened. And I found peace for my soul that I had not known before. I mean, something, if you're here this morning and something is just wrong in your life and you don't know what it is, I can tell you that the thing that you are looking for is the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world, and the salvation that only he can provide for you. Now, I wish you would trust him today. There's a second avenue. We're going to end up in the same destination, but there's a second road I want to take you down. I said, first of all this morning, that I want you to notice how these two, the root and the star, I want you to notice how these two combine the local and the universal. But now, secondly, I want you to think of the union of the hidden and the obvious. The root, of course, hidden. You don't see the root. It's under the ground. You know it's there, or the tree wouldn't be standing. But you can't see it. You see, a root is something concealed. It is something that is hidden. I mean, that tree would not be able to stand up if it didn't have a root. But you don't see the root because it's buried beneath the soil. The root is unseen. But a star, on the other hand, is very conspicuous. And everyone can see it. There are roots which lie very near to the surface of the ground, and others which grow very deep, and they seem to just lock themselves in the earth beneath them. But one thing is certain about the roots of a tree, and that is they shun the light. They shun the light. They do their complete work. They do all that they do in the darkness, in utter darkness. And it is right there where we see a world of difference between a root and a star. Because a star is something that is clearly seen by us. Listen, folks, even on the brightest summer day, you cannot go out to the tree that's in your backyard and see its roots. You know they're there, but the ground covers them, and try as you may, you can stand there and stare at it and get binoculars and do anything you want to do. You cannot see down into the darkness of the soil to see those roots. Everything those roots do for that tree, they do concealed from human eyes. But in the darkest night, the stars are shining in the wonder of the heavens. Now, again, let's think of this thought and connect it to Jesus. Because don't forget, Jesus said, I'm the root, but I'm also the star. Let's connect this to the Lord. Do you not think that it takes both, as infinitely diverse as they might be, to picture for us the mystery that is the Lord Jesus Christ? When Jesus came to this earth 2,000 years ago, there was no heavenly announcement of his coming. The Lord God did not take two flaming, fiery, sworded angels and put a big banner in between them announcing the Messiah was coming and send them around the circumference of the earth to let every person on the planet know that the Savior had come. God did not do that. He instead sent his only begotten Son into one little old place on this planet. Yes, there were some shepherds out there on the hills, and they got an announcement, and they had enough sense to come and find out what was going on. But the rest of the world, nobody knew. It was hidden from mankind. God did not send the message to everyone. He only sent the message to those who were right there in the area. And he came, and he lived, and he died. And the strange thing is, only those who met him and heard him tell it knew who he was. You realize that our Lord never went beyond 100 miles in any direction of Jerusalem? I mean, it's not like he came and then went up into Asia. It's not like he came and went over into Europe. It's not like he came and crossed the sea and came into America. No, he was hidden. Jesus was hidden. He was like a root stuck in the ground. But now think of this. The Lord Jesus cannot be hidden. I mean, look at how many of us right here in Westminster have seen his light. We had a full house at the 8:30 service this morning. We had a full house. Look, think about all those people and then all the folks that are here for this service. I mean, how many of us right here in Westminster have seen his light? I'm saying to you folks, he lives and he shines in hearts all over the world. He is, as he claimed, the light of the world. The light cannot be hidden. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. It is shining and can be seen from one horizon to the other. I remember a few years, several years back when I was pastoring out in Joliet, Illinois, there's a bunch of folks that found out that that Karen and I had been to the Holy Land, and they wanted to go. And so I put together a trip, and we took about 40 people from our church out there over to the Holy Land. Most of them had never been out of Chicago. And we went over to the Holy Land. First night we were there, we stayed in Tiberias. We got off the airplane, took the bus over through Nazareth and up over Cana and then down to the Sea of Galilee and stayed in Tiberias. And we ate dinner and then went out and walked on the streets, and it was the Sabbath was beginning at 6 o'clock, and so at 6 o'clock, boom, everything, they rolled sidewalks up and everybody disappeared, and so all the shops were closed and it's dark out, wasn't a cloud in the sky, beautiful night, just balmy temperatures, it was just ideal, and there we are on the Sea of Galilee. And we walked down towards the shore, and as we got closer, you just keep stepping down on the sidewalk as you go, and we finally got down to where we were at shore level. And they had a pier that went all along the side, and then there was a pier that jutted out into the sea a little bit. And so we walked down and got to the edge where it turned out to the sea, and I looked, and there was no gate, and so I said, come on, let's go. And we walked right on out, got away from town and away from the lights. And we were standing out in the Sea of Galilee a little ways. And when we got out there, I was looking at the Galilean hills and looking at the cities on top of the hills and thinking of what Jesus said, that a city on top of a hill cannot be hidden. There we were. You could see it miles away, but you couldn't hide that. Those lights were just gleaming brilliantly in the night sky. There was no moon. There were no clouds. It was a perfect night. And while I'm looking at all of this, at all these lights just dotting the hillsides, one of the fellows in our church that I don't think had ever been out of Joliet or ever been out of Chicago, he was standing there just looking up and just spinning and looking and with amazement on his face. And finally he said, "Wow, look at how bright those stars are shining." And what he didn't think of at that moment was that those very stars that he was looking at that moment were the exact same stars that would shine 6 hours later in Joliet, Illinois. But you see, the problem in Joliet is that you are so close to Chicago, you get the glow from the city of Chicago, and you never are able to see the brilliance of the night sky. You'll get a star here, you know, one of the more brighter ones. You'll get a star here, and maybe sometime you can make out the Big Dipper, and maybe sometimes you can see one of the other brighter stars that are shining. But we stood there, and it's just like the longer you looked, the more you could see. And he just stood there in amazement at the brilliance of the night sky. And I wish this morning, as I thought about that, I wish this morning that all of you would realize that there is a light that is brighter than any other. There is a star who wants to shine the light of truth in your heart and wants to give you forgiveness of sin and an eternal home in heaven. But you know, because of the haze from this old sinful world that we live in, maybe you're having a hard time seeing what a wonderful Savior he is. He's the root, but thank God he's also the star. Why don't you clear the haze a little bit this morning so you can see this star who is shining so brightly? Because he wants to shine his light on you. Then there's the third thing I want you to see. We'll go down the last road, and all three of them are going to take us to the same spot. Number three, I want you to think how we have united the earthly and the heavenly. Think of how this unites the earthly with the heavenly. With the earthly, you got a root. You've got a root. I mean, a root belongs to a tree. We all know that. And a tree is of this earth. You know, I find it interesting. There are no trees on the moon. Did you notice that? You remember when Armstrong and all those guys walked on the moon? Some of you weren't born yet, but a lot of you were. And they took the photos and they sent them back. No, not a tree anywhere. Was I the only one that noticed that? I noticed that. And then they sent this thing to Mars a couple of several months back. And the Mars rover got out there, started beaming back pictures. And no trees. No trees. God only put trees here on the earth when he created this universe. But a star is only found in the glories of heaven. You find the root on a tree where the feet of men are walking. You find a tree where a family spreads a blanket and has a picnic in the park. You find a tree where the children play as they swing upon its branches. You find a tree where two young hearts will stand and ogle one another, and where love is in their heart, and they'll stand under its protection and its comfort, and they will whisper their love for each other. And under that tree, hidden in the root, hidden in the earth, will be its root system. Holding it up, anchoring it, protecting it from the wind blowing it over, nourishing it and feeding its branches and its leaves. But folks, that's all here on the earth. But a star is found far out where no man can go and no man can reach. A star is in the infinite heights of heaven that are far beyond where any of us have the ability to go. I have often stood outside. I was thinking about this, that old bulldog we used to have. And it was always my job to take that bulldog out before we all went to bed. And so I had to take her outside. And you had to go out with her, because if you didn't, she made a beeline right down to the neighbor's house because the neighbors fed their cat outside on the porch. Now, one day I let her out and I forgot she was out and I went out. I remember it about an hour later. I went out to get her and here come the neighbor walking her up the hill. And I said, "Oh, I'm so sorry." I said, I got busy and I forgot I let her out. She said, "Well, it's all right. She's got a full belly now." She ate that whole plate. And now every time you let her out, she would make a beeline if you didn't keep an eye on her. She would take a few steps, turn around, see if you were watching. And then she'd take a few more, and I'd snap my fingers, and she'd turn around and come back. Everything that dog did was belly connected. Everything. Everything. Every decision that that dog made was connected to her belly. I'll promise you that. Now, I take that dog out at night. And I'm amazed at the sky. I have an app on my phone, and it's called what's that called? Sky Space Junk. Space, and you can put and it, shine it up. It'll tell you what the stars are. And I'll stand out there sometimes for hours and just, "Oh, look at that! Oh, look at that! Oh, look at that!" I love to do that. I've always been fascinated by the stars and by the universe. Now, think about this, folks. Think about this. What orbits around that star you're looking at? You can't see that. You can't see that. I cannot and will never know what's going on out there, because that star is a lifetime away from where I am on this earth. I'll never know what's going on out there. You say, "Well, Pastor, how in the world does any of this apply to the Savior?" Think about it, folks. I'm remembering those Emmaus Road disciples walking home from Jerusalem on the evening when Christ was crucified that morning. I'm thinking about those Emmaus disciples, and they're walking back to their home. And all of a sudden, the light of the world appears and walks with them. And that light that appeared shines upon their hearts the light they needed to understand and see all things in their right perspective. And they experienced the root, think about it, they experienced the root and the star at the same moment. They got the Lord Jesus incarnate man, yet the Lord Jesus God in the same person. Wow. Isn't that something? God yet man. But that's who our Savior was. Folks, think of this. Remember, when the Lord Jesus was on the boat and the disciples were trying to get out of the storm, it was pouring the rain, the winds are blowing, the waves are crashing, and Jesus is asleep. Let me ask you, is anything any more human than sleep? Some of you are displaying your humanity right now as I speak. It's amazing. Is anything more human than sleeping? No. And here's the disciples. They're rowing. They're afraid they're going to sink. And one of them finally, out of desperation, comes over and shakes him from his slumber. "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And so the Lord Jesus sets up, I can see it in my mind's eye. I don't know if it went down this way, but this is how I see it. The Lord Jesus wakes up and rubs his eyes and goes, oh, boys, I'm telling y'all, wearing me out. And he walks over and he puts his hand up and he says, peace be still. Boom, instantly that stops. The disciples are all standing there looking at one another, said, did you see that? Did you see what he did? And they looked at one another and said, what manner of man is this that even the winds and seas obey his will? I've told you all before when I preached on this, that little phrase, what manner of man is this? It doesn't mean where's a guy come from or what kind of guy is this? What kind of guy is this that even the winds and seas obey his will? That's not what it meant. What it meant was, where does a guy come from? Well, he certainly doesn't come from around here. If that was the case, one of us could have just stood and put our hand up and stopped Sandy about a month and a half ago. No, we don't have that power. But Jesus does, because he's God yet man. Do you remember when they said, does your master pay taxes? They said, well, we don't know. We'll go ask him. So they came and they said, Master, they want to know, do we pay taxes? Let me ask you, folks, is there anything any more human, especially nowadays, than paying taxes? Huh? Do we pay taxes? The Lord Jesus said, here, my imagination, I can see the Lord taking a little piece of fishing string, hook on the end of it, and he just picks it up. It was laying there over the edge of a boat. He picks it up and he says, here, Peter, go throw this in the water. And Peter starts looking around saying, where's some bait? No, don't bait it. Just throw the hook in. Just throw the hook in the water. So Peter walks over and, okay, and he throws the hook in the water. And as soon as it hits the water, bang, a big old fish jumped on it. He reels it in. He probably turned around, looked at John, said, bet you can't do that. Turned around. Reels it in, comes over, takes the hook out. Lord Jesus said, now, look in his mouth, Peter. Peter opens that fish's mouth and looks inside, and there's a coin, just enough to pay the taxes. He reaches into it. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Unto God the things that are God's. You see, on one side of that coin was a picture of the temple. On the other side of that coin was a picture of Caesar. Whose picture's on there, Peter? Caesar's, okay? Then render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but unto God the things that are God's. Anything any more human than paying taxes? No, sir. But wouldn't you like to be able to go fishing and pay your tax bill? That's our Savior, folks. That's God in the flesh. They experienced the root and the star at the same moment. Folks, how do you explain such mysteries as these, which are our Savior? How can one be here on earth where the grass is green and the ocean is blue and yet be in a world that is just completely beyond our reach and our realm? But then we remember who we're dealing with. And by his own testimony in verse 16, we learn that Jesus said of himself that he is the root, and at the same time, he is the star. Nothing is more notable than the seeming contradictions which are said about the Lord Jesus. But once you dig into them, there are no contradictions at all, because he's the root, but he's also the star. I think Paul nailed it when he said in the book of Colossians, in him dwelleth all fullness of the Godhead bodily. You see, God came to this earth. He was God in the flesh. He lived, he died, but he was raised again through his own power. How could you not want this wonderful Savior to be your Savior? That puzzles me. I tell you, folks, this honest truth. If I was here this morning and not saved, I'd run down this aisle and say, somebody, somebody introduce me to the Savior. Amen. That's how wonderful our Savior is. Yeah. He's the root, but he's also the star.